Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Well, we've talk. Finally, we get to the punishment of the helpless. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. A fool, a helpless person, makes promises they can't keep, says things they shouldn't say, puts them in a bad situation. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. That's the difference between understanding what's going on and what and not. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment or sense. Again, helpless. They can't figure it out. They can't figure out where they are, what's going on, or how to get out. We have the destiny of the helpless. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. If you've ever dealt with somebody who just simply will not learn, will not grow, is determined to be helpless or a victim, you can beat them, you can grind them, you can talk to them, you can scream and yell at them. It does no good. Proverbs 11:29, he who brings trouble on his family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The helpless person can only be a servant because they can only do what they're told. They don't understand. They can't do anything else. And then there's a moral case against folly or helplessness. This is probably where the Bible parts company with the spirit of our age the most. We think that a person who is helpless, who is a victim, who can't help themselves, is deserving of our help. Or that somehow something has happened to them so that their helplessness is not their fault. Well, the Bible is a little clearer about this than we are, because it says that if you end up helpless or in folly, that there is a moral element to it. And we want to look at that. Does everybody know what I mean by when I say moral? Nobody wants to raise their hand, huh? Moral has to do with doing things that are right. And if you do things that are right and you discipline yourself and you get better at them, you more than likely will not end up helpless. So there is a moral case against folly. Proverbs 5:22, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. The implication here is that maintaining this life of folly or helplessness not only brings ruin in this life, financial ruin, family ruin, health ruin, but the moral failure involved in being helpless will also send you to hell. Helplessness is not an indifferent sort of thing in a spiritual sense. I think that we have represented the grace of God as, I know we have because I've heard theologians say this, that God is on the side of the helpless, that he loves the helpless, the poor, the stricken more than he loves others. Have any of you heard that theology? Well, Ralph has. Well, it's out there. Well, there is no direct scripture for that point of view. As a matter of fact, what we just read seems to imply that this helplessness and maintaining and staying helpless and continuing in folly is equivalent to sin. And to avoid changing your habits, accepting discipline, applying self-discipline, even in the area of our spiritual life, not only will ruin you as a person in this life, but will disqualify you for eternal life to come. I think that God is gracious, but sometimes we have represented God as stupid, and he is certainly not. Proverbs 24:9. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. We have in Jeremiah, we have the same idea picked up in the prophets. Jeremiah is writing to the people of Israel just before the end. They are about to be captured, thousands killed, all their cities burned. And Jeremiah, his heart is just breaking inside of him because he's trying to tell the people to return to God, and they keep saying to him, well, we have returned to God. We're God's people. We go to the temple. We offer the sacrifices. We're God's people. And so he says here in Jeremiah 4:19, oh, my anguish, my anguish. This is Jeremiah speaking. My writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent. For I have heard the sound of the trumpet. I have heard the battle cry. What he's saying here is that in his visions and in his relationship with God, he's read the Old Testament. He's seeing what the people do. He knows that Babylon is coming. And although they're not there, you can't really hear it, he knows it's coming, and he can hear the sound of the trumpet as the army of Babylon marches on Jerusalem. He can hear the battle cry of the soldiers. Verse 20. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. How long must I see the battle standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? My people are fools. The word there is helpless. God speaking, they do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. It is this schooling in evil that brings about this helplessness. And it was an unbelievable disaster. In Hosea, who is writing about 100 years before Jeremiah, he's writing in the northern kingdom, about the same situation. They're about to be taken captive by Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. And Hosea, again, prophetically sees into the future, and he says, the days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this. Because your sins are so many and your hostility so great, the prophet is considered a fool. That's the word. The inspired man, a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim, that is the northern kingdom. Yet snares await him on all his paths and hostility in the house of his God. They have sunk deep into corruption as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. What he's saying is the world is turned upside down. The prophet who knows God is considered a fool because he preaches righteousness, while the people are involved in all this corruption are actually helpless. It's kind of a prophetic thing. He's talking about Gibeah. The story of Gibeah is in Judges 19, 12 to 30. Here, the particular sin is the sin of homosexuality. And that is foolishness. And it leads to helplessness. And one professor at seminary tried to tell us that homosexuality was okay because it led to the end of the human race. And we all are having a little trouble with that. If everybody's homosexual, it will lead to the end of the human race, for sure. And then we truly are helpless. Any questions? Well, we have covered four of the fools in the book of Proverbs. We've dealt with the sluggard, the person who just can't seem to motivate himself to get out of bed. We have seen the simple-minded person, the one who wants to stay open to all possibilities, and so he keeps falling into trouble. We have seen the stupid person, who is full of himself, disregards God, is going to make it on his own. And we have seen the person who dwells in helplessness and thinks that it is better to be helpless than to be wise and capable. That it's a better strategy for life, and it is not. These are the four primary words that we have in the Old Testament for foolish behavior, and they are to be avoided.